Sorry we missed everyone last week, but we are back on this week. And next week we'll be back again. We're going to be going continuously through Pesach. So next week, please join us. We'll be having Shiram from Rabbi Eliakim Konigsberg and Rabbi Elisha Bacon. Very interesting program, so please make sure to join us for that. There will be a full schedule of programs, like I said, going forward the next couple of weeks through Pesach. So please make sure to watch your emails for the upcoming schedules. And with that, we will start our first shiur. I'm sure you might have noticed that we changed our lineup a little bit this morning. I really want to give a real deep appreciation to Rabbi Leibowitz for stepping in. We had a last-minute cancellation of our first speaker, and Rabbi Leibowitz was gracious enough to volunteer to give a shiur at the last minute. I mean, almost, I don't want to say literally because, you know, but it was almost last minute. So I really want to appreciate him for that. And it was so last minute that I actually don't even have the topic of it. So I'm as excited as anyone else on this Zoom to get a topic, but I will introduce him as the Abraham Arbuckle Chair of the Director of the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Smicha Program at Reese YU, as well as the Rav of the Base Kesset of North Woodmere. And it's a great pleasure and honor to introduce Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shor. It's an honor to be with you this morning, and I have to give my thank yous to be able to give a shiur on short notice to Rav Eliav Silverman. I haven't have been in the Gris Kolel, in the YU Kolel on the Gris campus in Yerushalayim last week, and there are many, many great things about being there, seeing all of our Talmidim who are learning so beautifully, just being in Eretz Yisrael. But one of the great pleasures is to see the wonderful Rebbeim that we have in our Kolel in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to talk to Rav Miller and Rav Bednarsh and Rav Eisenstein. And Rav Eliav Silverman gave me his newest Sefer Meshiv Nefesh, which kept me company on the plane ride home. And he writes so very beautifully. And this is a new Sefer that he published relating to the different Moadim. So he has a piece in Simin Lamed Ches about the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So I figured it's a good week to discuss the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. And Rav Silverman's style in presenting his shiurim, in presenting these essays, is he tries to present a simple chakira, a simple two-sided, sometimes three-sided question in lamdus, and then he tries to show how almost every machlokas you're going to find about the topic can somehow be related to that chakira, sometimes very directly, sometimes not as easy and clear a fit, but that's it's a very beautiful and easy style to be able to read through. So I want to share with you none of my own Torah, but all of Rav Eliav Silverman's Torah from the Sefer Meshiv Nefesh on the Moadim in Simin Lamed Ches. And it's again about the inyan of Parsha Zachar. The Torah tells us in Dvarim Perek Chafei Pasuk Yud Zayin, Zachares Asher Asalucha Amalek B'derech B'tzeis Chamim Tzrayim, that we have a mitzvah, Pashtus Min HaTorah, to remember what Amalek tried to do to us when we were leaving, when we were on our path out of Mitzrayim. So we have to remember the Maisa Amalek. But then there's another mitzvah, the mitzvah that appears just two psukim later, where it says, Timche as Zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. That we have to, Zecher, we assume it's Zecher is probably the halacha, Timche as Zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. That we have to annihilate, we have to wipe out Amalek mitachas Hashemayim from the face of this earth. So the question Rav Silverman deals with is, how connected are these two mitzvahs? Meaning it seems that they're two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to remember Amalek, Zachar, and there's a mitzvah of Timche es Zecher Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, to destroy Amalek. Are these two mitzvahs connected to each other, or are they separate and apart from each other? I remember many years ago when my wife and I first got married, we had visited the UK, we had visited England on our way to Israel. My father-in-law was doing a lot of work at that time for British Telecom, so he had all these British Airways miles, and he sent us to Israel on British Airways, so we stopped in England along the way, and we spent a Shabbos in England, and we davened in the Marble Arch Synagogue in London, and it happened to have been that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, was speaking in the Marble Arch Synagogue. It was pretty lucky that he was speaking in the Marble Arch Synagogue that Shabbos, and he told the story about after having seen the film Schindler's List that Steven Spielberg produced, Rabbi Sacks said that he had sent a letter to Mr. Spielberg, and he said, "You have fulfilled a very great great mitzvah with this film. You fulfilled the mitzvah of Zachar. You fulfilled the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, that now people will remember what it was that Amalek tried to do to us. Parenthetically, he then said that he gave a charge to Mr. Spielberg, and he said, you've shown the world how the Jewish people die, now you must show the world how the Jewish people live. And Mr. Spielberg apparently sent back to him a note a few years later that said that I've worked on your suggestion, and I've produced a film called The Prince of Egypt about Moshe Rabbeinu leading the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Did not have quite the same impact that that Schindler's List had, but it was a good try. So there is this mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, a mitzvah to remember Amalek. How connected is that to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek? So Rav Silverman suggests is that you could suggest that they are connected in three different ways, or you could suggest that they are not connected in three different ways. How would one suggest that they are connected? So they could be connected, as I said, in three different ways. There is a Psikta Rabasi in Perek Yud Beis that says, Havu zuchurim lo limchos ha-shemo min ha-olam, Zachar asher asalecha Amalek. That we read Parsha Zachar as a reminder of the obligation to annihilate and obliterate Amalek. That if we're going to do the mitzvah, we need a reminder to do the mitzvah to destroy Amalek. So the reminder comes in the form of Parsha Zachar. And therefore, the two are very much connected to each other. A second way that they might be connected to each other is that it's not only a reminder, but as the Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes, V'chein mitzvas asei la'abed zecher Amalek, shenemar timcha es zecher Amalek, u'mitzvas asei lizkor tamid ma'asov harayim, v'arivaso kidei la'orere vaso. Says the Rambam, you know why we have to remember Amalek? Because we have to keep that passion and that hatred for Amalek alive in our hearts. And that will inspire us to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. That it's not only, as the Psik the Rabbah, he said, a reminder, don't forget that you have this mitzvah, but it's to create within us the emotion and the passion that will make us want to do the mitzvah. And the Rambam doubles down in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Mitzvos HaSei Kuf Peites, and he writes, Hishatzivanu liskor masha asalanu amalek me'ekdimu laharalanu v'shenamar zebekol eis ve'eis, that we should remind ourselves of what Amalek did to us and constantly remind ourselves of this, una'orer hanefashos b'ma'amarim lihilah. And that will inspire us to fight a war with Amalek. And will encourage us to hate Amalek. So that we will not forget the mitzvah. And the hatred will not fade. And be lost a little bit from our souls over a period of time. So it's a second possible way that they're connected. Not just a reminder, but a preparation for battle with Amalek. To keep that passion alive in our hearts. And then a third possible way that these two mitzvahs might be connected, the Ramban on the Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chafei, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Ramban writes, Hanachon be'enai, shulomar shul tishkach ma sha'asa lanu amalek, ad shenimcha eshmo mitachs ha-shamayim, unesaper ze levanenu ledoroseinu, lomar lehem, kach asa lanu harash, ulekach nitztavinu limchos ha-shmo. Says the Ramban, the reason we have to recall what Amalek did for us is because there is a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, but that is not an easy mitzvah to engage in hasbara, to explain to our children, to have chinuch in a mitzvah of destroying, of committing genocide, of wiping out anashim, nashim v'taf, and behemos and everything of another nation. How can we possibly justify that? How are we going to explain that to the next generation? Says the Ramban, therefore, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Because if you recall what they did to us, then you will not have as much of a problem with the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So it's in order to explain the mitzvah. So that's on one side of the equation. On one side of the equation, we have that there is a connection, a deep connection, between the mitzvah of remembering Amalek and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. How are they connected? Three possible ways. The Psik the Rabasi as a reminder to do the mitzvah, the Rambam as a preparation for the mitzvah to keep that hatred alive in our hearts, and the Ramban as an explanation of the mitzvah. How are we going to explain to our children? We explain by telling them what Amalek did to us. But then there's a whole nother side to this. There's a whole nother possibility that maybe the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is independent of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Well, wait a second. If there's no connection between the two mitzvahs, why on earth would Hashem tell me that I have to remember Amalek? If it's not to encourage me to wipe out Amalek, to obliterate Amalek, then what's the purpose of Zechiras Amalek? Three possibilities. Possibility number one, says Rav Silverman, is based on a sifra in Parshas Bechukosai, and that is that it's a reminder of the Averos that brought Amalek upon us. Not to remind us that we need to destroy Amalek, but to remind us what kinds of Averos one does that brings about a battle of Amalek, that brings about a Nisayon of Amalek, to remind us not to commit those same Averos, not to fall into those same traps and suffer those same pitfalls. In fact, in Pirkei Derblazer Parak Mem Gimel, it says, right, Pinchas Omer Echad Achar Arba'im Shana Ratza Moshe Lahaskir LiYisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remind the Jewish people after 40 years. V'omelam Zuchur Matem Shamartem B'Midbar Zeh Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbenu Emayin. Remember, here in this desert, you doubted the presence of Hashem. You said, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbenu Emayin. Is Hashem really here? Elo Omer Moshe Imani Omer Lahem Kach Harani. But if I were to tell them that, then they would be embarrassed. I'm going to tell them that they doubted God. They're going to feel embarrassed about that. And that's not a simple thing. You can't just embarrass somebody, even if you're trying to give them mussar. One has to be very careful about that. You know, there's a halacha that if a Bal Kori makes a mistake, so if it's a mistake that affects the meaning of the words, you're supposed to correct them. But the poskim struggle with that. Can you really correct a Bal Kori in public? Isn't that embarrassing the Bal Kore? So the Rambam holds you correct him about anything, small or big. Even if he makes a mistake in the trap, you correct him. But there are Rishonim that say, no. You can only correct the Bal Kore if he makes a mistake that is Mecharif and Megadif. If he makes a mistake that would turn what he's reading into apikorsis. For example, instead of reading Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he reads the Dalet as a Resh, and he says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher. That's when you would have to correct him. But short of that, you would not even correct the Bal Kore. Why not? He made a mistake. Because you can't embarrass somebody publicly. Now, we happen to paskin that we correct on any mistake that changes the meaning of the word, which means that you have to know something before you correct somebody on a mistake. You have to know what does change and what does not change the meaning. Sometimes the mila el and mila ra will change the meaning of a word. Sometimes not. So you have to know what in fact changes the meaning of a word and what doesn't. But says the Pirkei Derblazer, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of giving mussar to the Jewish people. How can I give them mussar? That would be embarrassing. So you know what? I'm just going to remind them that Amalek happened. And they're going to realize, he's reminding us about why Amalek happened. Because we did Averos. And that's why Amalek came and attacked us. So it was a way of reminding the Jewish people of the Averos that they had done so that they should not suffer. And again, by doing those same Averos. In fact, Pirkei Derblazer gives a mashal. He says you have a king who's watching over his orchards, and he has a wild dog protecting his orchards, a guard dog, and one of his friends comes in to steal things from the orchards, and the dog attacks his friend and bites him and rips his clothing, and he sees his friend later on. So he wants to say, what are you doing running into my orchards and stealing things from me? But he knows that that will embarrass his friend. So instead he says, did you see that dog? Did you see that crazy dog that was going? Did it get you? That crazy dog bit you? And the friend will remember, oh yes, that crazy dog bit me because I did something terrible, because I went and I stole from the king's orchard. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu just reminded us of the dog of Amalek that came and attacked us, rather than reminding us of why that dog came and attacked us, of why Amalek attacked us. But that's the subtle reminder of those Averos. A second possibility of why we would have to remember Amalek, if after all, it's not connected to Mechias Amalek. The mitzvah of remembering is not connected to the mitzvah of fighting a war and destroying Amalek. Says the Melech Shlomo in the third parak of Maseches Megillah, Mishnah Dal. Melech Shlomo is one of the commentaries on the Mishnayos. Now it's become, Baruch Hashem, more popular for people to learn Mishnah Yomi. So I remember Mariv Rabbi Rav Baruch Simon, when I was in my early admissions year in Yeshiva University, used to tell me it's good to learn Mishnayos. It's good to learn Mishnayos with the Kahati, which is how I was learning Mishnayos at that time. But remember, the goal is to be able to learn Mishnayos with the Yachin Boaz Mishnayos. You should be able to learn Mishnayos from the old classical Mishnayos with all the classical commentaries on the Mishnayos. So one of those classical commentaries on the Mishnayos is the Melech HaShlomo. And the Melech HaShlomo says a different reason why we might have a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek absent or not connected to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek, and that is Hakavana hi liskar hagorim shua avon v'nashuv la'Hashem. It's to promote tshuva, not only just to remind us of the avera, not to do those averos again, but to remind ourselves that if we are doing those averos, if we were rafu yudeya midivrei Torah again, if maybe we're not as serious about our learning as we should be, maybe we're not serious about our amuna as we should be, to remind us to do tshuva from those averos again, not related to our relationship with Amalek and what we're going to do with Amalek, but a reminder of the averos that we had done that brought about Amalek. And if we're doing those averos again, to do tshuva. So that's a second, slightly different possibility. Not only a reminder not to do those averos, but a reminder that if we've done those averos, that we must do tshuva. And then a third possibility of what Zechiras HaMalek might be about if it's not at all connected to Mechiyas HaMalek. And that is what the Smak writes in Mitzvah Chav Gimel, where he says, Shelo l'shkoach ma'isa HaMalek, t'shuv lo tishkach, pirush, Shakurj Barhu Hitzilenu Miyado, Uba Vorzatia Yerosal Penenu Vilti Nechte, Ubazayitin Lanukach Linakimimenu, says the Smak. You know why we need to remember Amalek? Because we have to remember how good Hashem is to us, how wonderful and kind Hashem is to the Jewish people. Because we were a battered and beaten nation coming out of Mitzrayim. We had no organized military, we had no training in waging war, and we had no homeland, we were traveling in the desert, and Amalek, which is this well-oiled machine, this army of Amalek comes and attacks us, and Amalek got burnt. Amalek got burnt by that boiling bathtub of the Jewish people. Amalek were the ones that were defeated. How did that happen? It was a clear miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We couldn't even chalk it up to Israeli ingenuity or all the other things that we like to chalk up the milchamos that Hashem wages for us bizmanenu to. We had nothing else. No other excuse. There's only one way to look at it. This was an act of God, and we have to remember the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. So these are the two sides of the equation. One side of the equation, that remembering Amalek relates to wiping out Amalek in three possible ways. Either as a reminder to wipe out Amalek, to prepare us emotionally to wipe out Amalek, or to explain to our children why we have to wipe out Amalek. And the other side is that no, it's not related to wiping out Amalek. It's independent. Either as a reminder of the averos that we have done, as a reminder to do tshuva for the averos that we have done, or as a reminder of the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with Klal Yisrael. So those are the two possibilities. Now Rav Silverman says, and lemay nafgamina. What are the differences in halacha between these two possibilities, whether the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is connected to Mechiyas HaMalek or totally disconnected from Mechiyas HaMalek? And Rav Silverman says, I can think of seven nafgaminas. So let's go through it. Let's see. Are there in fact seven nafgaminas? He says nafgamina number one is just a simple nafgamina, and that is how many mitzvahs are there? Is this one mitzvah or are these two mitzvahs? The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos, mitzvahs I say kuf pei zayin and kuf pei ches, counts it as two mitzvahs, as does the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah tafresh gimel and mitzvah tafresh dalid, two separate mitzvahs. However, Rav Yerucham Fischel Perlau in his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rosad Yagon and Mitzvah Nuntes points out that the Bahag only counts these two as one mitzvah. Now, as we know, all the Monei HaMitzvos have different counts of the 613 mitzvahs. Everyone seems to accept the Ramban's first comment on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos is the notion that everybody seems to accept that there are 613 mitzvahs, which is a chiddush, because there are many Mamari Chazal that suggest that there are many, many more mitzvahs than 613, and the Ramban quotes all those different Mamari Chazal, but there's one Gemara tucked away at the end of Maseches Makos that tells us that Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to us 611 mitzvahs, Torah, Gematria of Torah 611, and that's in addition to Anochi and Lo'yelecha, which Hashem himself gave us, the first two Dibros, which Hashem himself gave us without an intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that makes a total of Taryag mitzvahs, that we have 613 mitzvahs. But everyone has a different way of counting the 613 mitzvahs, and it gets tricky, because if you don't count certain mitzvahs, you can have to replace them with others. So the Bahag for example, counts even mitzvos drabanan. He counts Mikra Megillah and Ner Chanukah. The Rambam and the Ramban don't count mitzvos midrabanan in their minyan mitzvos. So the Bahag is going to have to subtract some of the mitzvos that the others do count. One of the mitzvos that he subtracts is he says that Zechiras Amalek and Mechiyas Amalek are one mitzvah, not two mitzvos. So says Rav Silverman, maybe this is exactly what they're arguing about. That if you hold that it's only one mitzvah, it's because they're very, very much connected to each other. That Zechiras Amalek is there to promote Mechiyas Amalek in one of those three ways. Either as a reminder, or as an inspiration to Mechiyas Amalek, or as an explanation for the children. But it's there to promote Mechiyas. Whereas if you hold like the other Rishon, the Rambam and the Chinuch, that they're separate mitzvahs, then there's room to argue, not necessarily, but there's room to argue that they're not connected with each other, that they're two independent mitzvahs of each other. A second nafkamina number two. Are women obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? Are women obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? I know in my shul and probably many, many other shuls, there are the women that come out in large numbers to be able to hear Parsha Zachar on this coming Shabbos. And very often, many shuls will have an extra reading of Parsha Zachar after the davening is over for women who are unable to make it, if they had young children to take care of at home or some other reason that they were unable to make it to shul. Is that in fact so obvious, though, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? Says the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel, V'noheges Mitzvah Zu, the Sefer HaChinuch always tells us who's included in the mitzvah, in every mitzvah. So he says, Noheges Mitzvah Zu, B'kol Makom U'B'kol Zman, B'Zecharim. It's only for men. Ki lahem lasos hamlacham of nikmasa oyev lo lanashim. Because only men are obligated in milchamos. Women are not obligated in milchamos. Remembering Amalek is only to promote milchemes Amalek. It's only to promote mechias Amalek. So one who is not obligated in fighting the wars of against Amalek are also not going to be obligated in zechiras Amalek, because the two are very much connected to each other. So much so, that in the Tshuva's Binyan Shlomo, in the Maftechos and Siman and Zion, he suggests the possibility that maybe Kohanim are pater from Kriyas Parsha Zachar, because Kohanim also don't fight in wars. Wow. That would mean that you can have the Kohanim Shul go home and babysit the children so that the women could come to Shul. Now, because if Kohanim are pater, women are also pater. But maybe Kohanim are pater from Parsha Zachar. He says, and that's why the minig is, Kohen can get two aliyos. There are two different aliyos that a Kohen is eligible for. He gets the first aliyah, but a Kohen can also get Maftir. You ever had a bar mitzvah of a family of Kohanim where it's tricky? How do they get the Zaydi in Aliyah and the Aviyaben in Aliyah and the boy in Aliyah? So they often can't. They can't get everybody in Aliyah. But there is Maftir. You can give a Kohen Maftir. So says the Binyan Shlomo, maybe not to give a Kohen Parsha Zachar. Because it could be that if a woman is not Chayiv in Parsha Zachar, like the Sefer HaChinuch suggests, since she's not Chayiv in Milchemes Amalek, it could be that a Kohen is not Chayiv in Milchemes Amalek is also not chayiv in Parsha Zachar, and therefore maybe you should not get the aliyah for Parsha Zachar. A fascinating chiddush. Minchas Chinuch disagrees. Minchas Chinuch, in his commentary to the Sefer HaChinuch, says, I don't understand. He says that you need a raya to tell me that women are pater from such a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. He says, after all, the rule is women are pater from mitzvah sasei shazman grama, from time-bound positive mitzvahs. And by the way, even time-bound positive mitzvahs, how many time-bound positive mitzvahs are women in fact pater from? It's been pointed out there are more exceptions to that rule than there are the rule. Women are chayiv in Ner Chanukah, and they're chayiv in Dalakosos, and they're chayiv in Mikra Megillah, they're chayiv in Achilas Matzah, and they're chayiv in Kiddush and Shabbos. All these mitzvahs, Shazman Grama, there are reasons, the Gemara explains, that there are exceptions to the rule, but it's a funny rule, because there are more exceptions than there are the rule. I always point out that Rabbi Sablovsky Shlita said he once challenged his shir. He said, I want you guys to tell me, how many mitzvah shazman grama are women in fact pater from? Are women in fact not obligated in? And one of the boys said, 1,000! And he said, well, let's back up a second. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, right? Of those 613, 365 are lo sase. So only 248 mitzvah sase. Now, how many mitzvah Shas Man Grama are women Patur from. Now, clearly it's not 1,000, but it's not even a dozen. It's not even 10. It's probably about 6. There are 6 mitzvahs de Shas Man Grama that probably women are in fact Patur from. But be that as it may, says the Minchas Chinuch, you can't tell me that women are Patur from Parsha Zachar. It's a mitzvah she'ein hazman grama. This isn't a time-bound mitzvah. You're going to tell me, but it's only men who fight the wars and not women who fight the wars. He says, that's not true. When it comes to Melchemes HaMalek, it's a Melchemes mitzvah. Afilu kala mechupasa. They take a kala out of the chuppah to fight the wars against HaMalek. No one's putter from a war effort against HaMalek. Furthermore, says the Minchas Chinuch, Mi amad besod Hashem yisbarach. Who's going to know the secrets of Hashem? You're going to tell me that the reason we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is so that we can fight wars with Amalek? Who says? How do you know that those two are connected with each other? Maybe there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek and a separate mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Ooh, right there you have it. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I disagree with the Sefer HaChinuch because he's making an assumption that there's a connection between Zechiras Amalek and Mechias Amalek. Minchas Chinuch says, I see no such connection. Who says that there's a connection? Who says that the two mitzvahs have anything to do with each other? Maybe they're independent mitzvahs. So here you have a nafkamina as to whether the mitzvahs are connected or not. If the two mitzvahs are connected, there's room to argue what the Sefer HaChinuch says, that women are in fact pater from Zechiras HaMalek. But if they're one mitzvah if there are two separate mitzvahs that are not connected to each other, then you have to say, like the Minchas Chinuch, that women are chayiv in Zechiras HaMalek, even if they're pater from Mechias HaMalek, because the two mitzvahs have nothing to do with each other. It happens to be that in the Shalos HaTshuvos Binyan Tzion HaChadoshos, he quotes that Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, was very makbid that women should hear Parsha Zachar, that the shvachos that worked in his house, he would tell them to go to shul, dafka on that Shabbos, to hear Parsha Zachar. Not everyone was so makbid that women should hear Parsha Zachar. Really depends on this machlokas. So that is nafkamina number 2. Nafkamina number 3. Are these mitzvahs connected to each other, or are they independent of each other? There is a machlokas haposkim, which parsha you can read to be yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. Certainly, we're going to read the parsha that we read this Shabbos. We're going to read the parsha from Dvarim Perchav Hei that goes through the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek and Zechiras HaMalek. Yeah, that for sure works. What about the parsha that we read on Purim morning? What about the parsha of Vayavo HaMalek? Does one fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek by reading that parsha? So there's a Magen Avraham in Siman Tafresh Pehe that says, sure, why not? It also talks about HaMalek, 9 psukim, tells us Vayavo HaMalek, tells us about Melchama HaMalek fought with us, that's it. So you're Yotzi the mitzvah. Comes along the Mishra Brura in Siman Tafresh Pehe, Sif Katan Tazayin, and he says, Lo Anias Daiti Iker Dino Shel HaMagen Avraham Tzoruch Iyun. He says, I disagree with the Magen Avraham. Toksiv B'Torah Zecharas HaSharasa Asher Karav B'Derech Ve'ezani B'Chatimche. It says that you have to make sure to wipe out Amalek. You can't forget Amalek because you have to remember to wage war with Amalek. And if the parsha that you're going to read only talks about what Amalek did, but does not talk about what our reaction to that must be, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. The mitzvah includes not only recalling what Amalek did to us, but what we are charged to do to them, what we are supposed to do in turn, which is to wipe out Amalek. This machlokas, Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah, what are they arguing about? Says Rav Eliyahu Silverman, it could be they're arguing about this very issue. If you understand that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is not at all connected to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, so yeah, Magen Avraham is correct. You could be Yotze with Parsha Vayavo Amalek. Doesn't even talk about destroying Amalek. But if you understand that the two mitzvahs are very much connected, and the purpose of Zechiras HaMalek is so that you will come to wipe out Amalek, then the Mishnah Berurah is going to be correct, that the only way you're going to be Yotzei is by reading a parsha that not only recalls what Amalek did to us, but also recalls what we are obligated to do in turn to Amalek, to wipe out and to destroy Amalek. So that is nafkamina number 3. Nafkamina number 4, a fascinating nafkamina to my mind, and this is because I don't think I ever heard of this one before. Do we still have the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek? Meaning, nowadays, we don't know who Amalek is. So there is, you know, Rav Soloveitchik quoted from his grandfather, from Reb Chaim, a possibility that, of course, we do. Any nation that makes it their national goal to destroy the Jewish people and doesn't believe in God, that's a critical addition. Sometimes people say, oh, the Palestinians are Amalek because they want to destroy Klal Yisrael, you know, they want to wipe out Eretz Yisrael. Probably doesn't fit the criteria, because it's not enough that they want to commit genocide against the Jewish people to qualify as Amalek. It's enough to qualify as pretty bad people, but it's not enough to qualify as Amalek. To qualify as Amalek, they also have to be people who don't believe in God, right? So if you have both of those characteristics, that they want to destroy the Jewish people and that they don't believe in God, then Rav Soloveitchik quoted from Rav Chaim that they would have a status of Amalek. Rav Chaim said this lahalacha. I mean, Rav Soloveitchik said this lahalacha. He thought that you're not even allowed to take war reparations from the Germans because the Germans had a status of Amalek. But the Pashtus is not like Rav Chaim. I think most assume that we don't know who Amalek is. Rav Chaim had a diuk in a Rambam like that because, you know, the Rambam wrote about the other nations, that Kavarov ad Zichron, we don't know who they are, and he doesn't write that about Amalek, but Pashtus is that we don't know who Amalek is. So if we don't know who Amalek is, we have no chance of fighting a war against Amalek. So if we have no chance of fighting a war against Amalek, why do we have to keep reminding ourselves of doing this mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? So you might say, yeah, because one day it's going to be revealed to us who Amalek is, and that's going to be part of the Geula process, right? The Geula process is recorded in the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin. You know, there's a lot of debate as to whether one is supposed to say when we daven for the Medina, whether we should refer to the Medina as Reishis Tzmichas Geula Seinu. Right, that was a very controversial line. Rabbi J.J. Schachter has a wonderful lecture on that topic, about that phrase, Reishis Tzmichas Geula Seinu. It happens to be that Rav Soloveitchik was not a big fan of that phrase, but Morenu Rav Schachter Shlita is. Morenu Rav Schachter Shlita, while he doesn't love the idea of adding new tefillos, he does think that we can say with confidence that the Medina is Reishis Tzmichas Geula Seinu. Based on what? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the Geula process involves three steps. Lahamed Lehem Melech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Lahachr Zaro Shel Amalek, and then to wipe out Amalek. And then Livnos Lehem Beis HaBechira, to build the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it's this week's parsha we just read, Parshas Pekudei, is the culmination of the Sefer HaGeula. Why is Sefer Shmos called the Sefer HaGeula? The Ramban explains, not because we got out of Mitzrayim in Sefer Shmos, it's called the Sefer HaGeula because it culminates in Mishkan. And when there's a Mishkan, when there's a Mikdash at the end of the process, that is Geula. Definition of Geula is Mikdash. So if the definition of Geula is Mikdash, and the Gemara tells us that there's a three-step process to get there. Step number one is Jewish government in Israel. Step number two is wiping out Amalek. Step number three is Livnos Lehem Beis HaBechira. It stands to reason that as soon as we establish a Jewish government in the land of Israel, as we did in 1948, we have taken step one in the Geula process. And therefore, Schachter writes in the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon, and he said many times, that we can say with confidence that Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, is Reishis Tzmichas Geula Seinu. It is the beginning of the process of Geula. So there's going to be a Milchamas Amalek. There's going to be a Milchama where we have to wipe out Amalek again. So you're going to argue that nowadays, of course, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, whether it is or is not connected to Milchamas Amalek, because if it's not connected, of course the mitzvah is still going to apply, and even if it is connected, we're still going to have to fight a war with Amalek, so it's important to do the Zechira. Okay, so I'll ask you a different question. Does the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek apply after that Milchama? Once we have a Beis HaMikdash, once the Geula is already finished, and there's no more Amalek to even speak of, once we actually finish the job, we do what Shaul HaMelech didn't do, and we complete the job, are we still going to have an obligation of Zechiras Amalek? Ooh, says Rav Silverman, that might be a nafkamina in our Chakira. If you hold that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is connected to the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, in that it reminds us to do the mitzvah, it inspires us to do the mitzvah, it helps us explain to our children why there's such a cruel mitzvah, so then it wouldn't make sense to continue with this mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek when there's no longer a requirement of Mechiyas Amalek. But if you hold that the two are independent of each other, and the reason we do Zechiras Amalek has nothing to do with what we're actually going to do to Amalek. The reason we do Zechiras Amalek is to remind ourselves of the Averos that we had done that brought about Amalek, to remind ourselves to do tshuva from those Averos that brought about Amalek, or to remember the Chaste Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us from Amalek. So it's got nothing to do with the fact that there's no longer an Amalek, God willing soon one day, that there's no longer an Amalek. You still got to do Zechiras Amalek, because it still helps remind us to do tshuva, reminds us of our Averus, reminds us of the Chasde Hashem. And that's why Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel, Efshar af bebias mishichenu sheyikari samalik mikol v'kol v'lo yezech lehem. It says the Minchas Chinuch, it could be that after Mashiach comes and there's no more Amalek to speak of, mikol makom hazechira yiyatam, mitzvah say this, kav lo lishkoach. It could be we're still going to have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, that this mitzvah is still going to be in full force. It's still going to apply. So that's nafkamina number 4 in this chakira. Nafkamina number 5. And this is one that's always an exciting nafkamina to me, because it's great lumdus. Why is it that there's no bracha on the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? Why do we not recite a bracha on the mitzvah to remember Amalek? So the Kaf HaChaim writes in Simtaf Reish Pehes of Katan Chav Tes, V'atam l'mashe in mevorcha, let's say the Zechar Amalek, Kosu mevorshim l'fi sha'al hashchasa ein mevorchin, V'afilu al hashchasa du'umas ha'olam. We don't make a bracha on something that is destruction. We do not recite a bracha on that which involves destroying, even if it involves destroying such a wicked nation like Amalek. How could you say a bracha on something so destructive? That's how the Kaf HaChaim explains. That hesber, that we don't say a bracha on Zechiras Amalek because it's a bracha on destruction, presumes that Zechiras Amalek relates to the destruction of Amalek. But what if Zechiras Amalek has nothing to do with the destruction of Amalek? What if the destruction of Amalek is a totally separate mitzvah, and Zechiras Amalek is a reminder for us to do tshuva, or a reminder for us about the chesed of Hashem? Then you're going to need a different explanation as to why it is that we don't recite a bracha before the Kriyas. You know, before Kriyas started this week, or before the Maftir, the rabbi is going to bang on the beam and he's going to say, everyone should have in mind to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. I have a better way to get everyone to have it in mind. Say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Al Zechiras Amalek. And then everyone will have in mind that they're fulfilling that mitzvah. Why don't we do that? So, again, if you assume that the two are very much connected, Zechiras Amalek and Mechias Amalek are connected to each other, so then you're going to say, like the Kaf HaChaim, we don't say a bracha because it's a bracha on a destruction, and we'd rather not think about it. We'd rather not recite brachos on destruction. But if you assume that the two mitzvahs are not connected to each other, you need another reason. You need another reason why not to recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So what might that other reason be? So if I recall from reading this piece from Rav Silverman, I don't think he discusses it. What might that other reason be why we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? So think about it. It's not just Zechiras Amalek. There are Dalet Parshios. We already read Parsha Shkalim. We're reading Parsha Zachar this week. We're going to read Parsha Parah. We're going to read Parsha Zachodesh. There's no mitzvah in any of the Dal Parshios. And it could be the Parshas Parah is a mitzvah Darais. Still, no Birch HaMitzvah in any of the Dal Parshios. Pashtus as to why there's no bracha on this reading of Parsha Zachar, no Birch HaMitzvah on the reading of Parsha Zachar, is based on what Rav Soloveitchik explained as to why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and why there's no bracha of Asher Kishar Mitzvah Vitzivanu al Mitzvahs Kriyashma. Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the comment that the Nesivos has in his Haggadah, where the Nesivos says, Chazal instituted Birchas HaMitzvah on mitzvos, but they never instituted a Birchas HaMitzvah on a mitzvah that itself is a bracha. For example, before one recites Kiddush, does one recite Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishar Mitzvah Vitzivanu al Zechira Shabbos? Before one recites Havdalah, any such bracha? No such bracha. Why? Because the mitzvah itself is a bracha. And you don't say a bracha on a bracha. Expanding that just a bit, says the Nesivos, just like Chazal don't institute a bracha on a bracha, they also don't institute a bracha on a mitzvah that is always fulfilled within the context of brachos. If the mitzvah is always done within the context of brachos, like Kriyas Shema always has brachos before and brachos after, Kriyas HaTorah always a bracha before and a bracha after, when there's a mitzvah that's fulfilled with the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, brachos on all four kosos that frame the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whenever a mitzvah is fulfilled within the context of brachos, there's no birchas mitzvah on such a bracha. So now I understand very well why there's not going to be a birchas mitzvah on reading any of the Dalet Parshios, because they're all fulfilled within the context of brachas that you say on an aliyah anyway. And that is nafkamina number 5. Nafkamina number 6. What is the nature of this chiyuv of Zechiras HaMalek? Is it a chovas hayachid or a chovas ha-tzibur? It could be that if there's no connection between these two mitzvahs of Zechiras and Mechias HaMalek, so you could say that the mitzvah of Zechiras and Ma'aseh HaMalek is a chovas hayachid, whereas the mitzvah of Melchama is a chovas ha-tzibur. But if there's a connection between the two, if the two are related to each other, well then, the just like the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek, of fighting a war with HaMalek, is a chiyuv on the tzibur, it's a chiyuv on Klal Yisrael, not a chiyuv on each and every individual, so too Zechiras HaMalek is a chiyuv on the tzibur, and not a chiyuv on each and every individual. And then nafkamina number 7, final nafkamina. What exactly are you supposed to feel at the time that you do the mitzvah of Zechiras Ma'aseh HaMalek? I mean, we're all going to be in Shul the Shabbos, or many of us. Hopefully, we should all be healthy enough. We should all be in Shul the Shabbos. And they're going to learn Parsha Zachar. What's supposed to go through my head while they're learning Parsha Zachar? What am I supposed to feel in my heart while they are learning Parsha Zachar? How does a person feel when they do the mitzvah of Zechiras Ma'aseh HaMalek? Maybe if the mitzvah is there to prepare us for the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek, it's connected to wiping out HaMalek, maybe one is supposed to arouse within himself feelings of hatred toward HaMalek. Meaning that's how the Rabbin described it. You're supposed to think about that we can't stand this nation, they're terrible, we have to reignite the passion against them, so that when the time comes to fight that war, we will fight that war with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our belief in the justness of our cause. But if the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek does not relate to the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek, you know why I do Zechiras HaMalek, like the Ramban said, to remember the great chesed that Hashem did with Klal Yisrael. It wasn't the Ramban, someone said, to remember the great chesed that Hashem did with Klal Yisrael, like the Smak had said, or to remember to do tshuva, like the Melech HaShlomo had said, or to remember not to do the averos that brought about HaMalek in the first place, like the Sifra said. So the feelings should not be negative feelings. The feelings that we have when we read the Parsha of HaMalek should be positive feelings. They should be feelings of, wow, look at the chesed of Hashem, how Hashem takes care of His people. That even when an HaMalek attacks, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to protect us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to help us out. And that is nafkamina number 7, the final nafkamina in this chakira. So to quickly summarize the entirety of the shir, everything that Rav Silverman said in this beautiful piece in Sefer Meshiv Nefesh on the Mawadim in Siman Lamed Ches, he started off by saying, we know that there is a mitzvah of remembering HaMalek and a mitzvah to destroy HaMalek. But there's what's unclear is whether those two mitzvahs are connected to each other. If they are connected to each other, they could be connected in three different ways. They could be connected because the Zechiras HaMalek is a reminder to fight the war. It could be, like the Rambam says, it's a preparation to fight the war by inspiring hatred of HaMalek. Or it could be, like the Ramban said, that it helps us explain to our children why we have such a mitzvah that seems so cruel to wipe out another nation. Or they could be not connected in three different ways. What's the mitzvah of Zechira if it's not about Mechias HaMalek? It could be to remind us of the Averos that brought about the Nisayon of HaMalek. It could be to promote Tshuva, or it could be to remember the great chesed of Hashem. L'may nafkamina, whether the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is related to Mechias HaMalek or not, 7 nafkaminas. Nafkamina number 1, how many mitzvahs are there? Are they two separate mitzvahs, like the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch say, or are they one mitzvah, like the Bahag says? Nafkamina number 2, are women obligated in the mitzvah? If it relates to Mechias HaMalek, maybe the Sefer HaChinuch is correct. Women are pata from war, and therefore pata from Zechira. If it does not relate to Mechias HaMalek, the Minchas Chinuch is certainly correct, that women are obligated. Nafkamina number 3, which parshios can you be yotze? Can you be yotze with Vayavah HaMalek? If they are connected with each other, then the Mishnah Berurah is certainly correct that Vayava Amalek is not good enough because it doesn't tell us anything about fighting a war. But if they're not connected with each other, the Magen Avraham is correct that Vayava Amalek would suffice. Nafkamina number four, is there still going to be a chiyuv of Zechiras Amalek in Yemos HaMashiach if they're related to each other? The two mitzvahs are related to each other, then there's not going to be a mitzvah of Zechir Samalik when there's no more mitzvah of Mechiyah Samalik. If they're not related to each other, then there still will be. Nafkamina number five. Why is it that we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah? Is it because it's a mitzvah of Hashchasa since it relates to war? Or if it doesn't relate to war, you'd have to have some other reason, like it's in the context of brachos. Nafkamina number six. Whether it's a Chovas HaYachid, independent of Mechiyah Samalik, which is a Chovas HaTzibur, or it's a Chovas HaTzibur because it's part of Mechiyah Samalik. And finally, nafkamina number seven, what a person is supposed to feel at the time of Zechiras Ma'aseh Amalek. Should a person feel negative, passionate hatred, or should a person feel a great gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So probably we should be extra machmir and feel both of those things. Try to feel a hatred for Amalek and also feel a wonderful gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I thank you all for the opportunity to share Torah with you this morning, and I certainly don't want to eat into the time of Rabbi Blas Shlita, who I see is already here. So thank you very much, and everyone have a Freilichen Purim.